You got me tonight. A little fresh outlook on the ascension. And I got really excited as I studied it, and I'm going to tell you why. First off, a little historical background. The ascension of our Lord, which occurred 40 days after Jesus Christ rose from the dead on Easter, listen to this, is the final act of redemption that Christ began in Holy Week. Amen. The reality of Christ's ascension is important. So much so, the creeds of all Christianity affirm it. The Apostles' Creed, he ascended into heaven, sits at the right hand of the Father Almighty, and from there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. The denial of the ascension is a grave departure from Christian teaching, as much so as the denial of the resurrection. Christ's bodily ascension foreshadows his own entrance into heaven, not simply as souls after our death, but as glorified bodies after the resurrection of the dead at the final judgment. In redeeming mankind, Christ not only offered salvation to our souls, but he began the restoration of the material world to the glory of God that he intended before the fall of Adam. What a picture. Amen. What a picture. Didn't Jesus say that where I go, you will go with me?
Amen.
Amen. Yep. We fully anticipate as born-again believers that we will go to heaven.
Amen.
Not just our souls, but one day our glorified body, because he who was first went first. And he went first, and as we heard in the reading from Ephesians, he is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for us. Jesus is praying for you, Miss Barbara. He's praying for you.
Amen.
He's praying for you and 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 even me. He is praying for all of us. There were three things I noticed when I was studying for this, and I want to bring them out to you. The first thing I want to talk about is what some would like to call convenient recall. Convenient recall. Convenient recall. What I mean by that, some might call embellishment of circumstances, because we get two total picture, different pictures of what happened here. Okay, the first picture I want to give you is from the Gospel of Luke. Good old Luke. He was giving it to us like he remembered it, like he thought about it. And at the end, oh, that's the wrong flipper. Here's the flipper. It says in verse 52, they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God.
Amen.
That's the way Luke remembered it.
Amen.
But let's go to our reading in Acts. Let's see the other side of the story.
All right.
Acts chapter 1. Who we also believe was Luke. Most theologians believe was Luke as well. Then he said, said, and he said this, and he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking in the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. The angels had to kind of snap him out of it. In this account, they were like, wow, awestruck. Or could there have been just a little bit, oh, now you're going to leave us again? I mean, you died, you rose again, you've been here 40 days teaching us, breaking bread with us. We got you with us. No one can deny you. You are here. You are showing yourself to over 500 people after you resurrected. We're on to something. We're going to take it now, and you are gone. Amen. Huh? Thank you. Have we ever been? You got it? Okay. I searched the world over and I thought I found true love. You met another and you was gone. Sorry about that, but it ain't no telling what's going to come out of me. Yes. But I mean, I can imagine there have been times in my life, and I would guess in yours as well, that you have been through a tremendous thing. God has redeemed you. God has restored you. God has done a miracle on your behalf. And you move down the road, and here comes the next one, and it's like, where are you, God? Where are you now? Yeah, why me? Woe is me? I do believe that at least for some of them, there was a little bit of this, and the angels had to shake them out of it. Hey, why are you staring here? You know, Father David used to say that some churches have camped on the Mount of the Ascension, and that is their testimony, that is their story. And that is their walk with the Lord. That they have stayed there. We know the denominations. We won't name them. But they stay there thinking that was it. Because Jesus ascended into heaven. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession for us. But in the grand scheme of things, they missed the very last part. Where he says that I am going to send you. But wait in Jerusalem until you are empowered or endued with power from on high.
Hallelujah.
Some denominations have missed that interpretation. So anyway, I think that's interesting. The next interesting point is what Jesus said. What did he say? Well, in Matthew, as this retelling happens, the ascension is only really noted in Luke. It's referred to briefly in Matthew with an assumption, which is where we get the Great Commission. And reason is what Matthew records Jesus telling them, going to all the ends of the earth, making disciples of all men, teaching them of everything. That's the Great Commission. But we see that echoed here in Luke. So we know these two things were at the same time.
Amen.
Okay? So Matthew says this. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.
Amen.
Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age.
Amen.
Luke puts it like this. That is what was written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead and on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations.
Amen.
Beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, But stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high.
Amen.
Both are given the command to preach or be witnesses and teach repentance and remission.
Amen.
So the first thing I want to look at is that said all nations. Didn't say go back to Jerusalem and preach to my chosen people, the Israelites. He was talking to a group of Israelites. He was talking to Hebrews. He was talking to God's chosen people. And he was telling them that he was going to empower them to preach the good news, the gospel, to all nations, which includes Gentiles.
Amen.
They didn't really get that until Paul came on the scene. But yet, in Jesus left them with that, that this message is going to go to all nations, including the Gentiles. I find that interesting. The next thing I find interesting is what they were supposed to preach. And Luke tells us that they were supposed to preach repentance and remission.
Amen.
Repentance, simply stated, is to reverse your behavior.
Amen.
Turn away from.
Amen.
When we repent before God, it's because we know that we are doing something that is against His law. It is against His ways for us, and we need to say, God, I'm sorry I've done that, and I'm going to turn away from it, and I'm not going to do it again.
Amen.
Many churches do a great job preaching repentance, but they fall short with the thing that goes hand in hand with it, and that is remission. Because Jesus said, teaching them repentance and remission. Remission, simply stated, is forgiveness.
Amen.
Or boldly stated, release from bondage.
Amen.
Release from bondage.
Amen.
We say it in the Lake George Blessing. Always remember the gospel. That God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to Himself,
Amen.
Not counting our sins against us.
Amen.
In through Jesus, there is remission. There is forgiveness. There is release from bondage. Amen?
Amen.
The last thing I noticed is Luke says, you are my witnesses. Now remember, Luke said, when they had worshipped him, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy after Jesus told them, you are to be my witnesses, teaching repentance and remission. The thing I find odd here, and here comes my next Greek lesson, is the word for witness or witnesses is martus. Martus. You like that? Martus. I got a thumbs up, everything. Martus. Which is, in other places in Scripture, interpreted as martyrs. Witness and martyr is the same word in Greek. Witness and martyr. So let's rephrase it. Therefore, go into all the world and give your life for repentance and remission. It's not this, oh, I'm a witness to Jesus, look at me. I'm standing up here, I hung out with Him, He rose from the dead for 40 days, And now I'm a witness to everything he did, and I'm here to get you right and tell you the story.
Right.
No, to me, what the scripture is saying is, go give your life.
Amen.
So people can be set free.
Amen.
Which every single one of those men, the disciples that heard that word, that's exactly what they did.
Amen.
They gave their life. The last thing I saw in this scripture, I did say last thing, this is going rather fast. Is what I saw the ascension was, as I read earlier, it's the exclamation point on the chain of events from Holy Week through Good Friday, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, Easter morning, to the ascension. What we have seen play out is the true story.
Amen.
Of the good news of what Jesus did. The exclamation point that God received him into heaven.
Amen.
Seated him at the right hand.
Thank you,
Jesus. What we do every Sunday is we do a retelling of that. Every time we come before this altar, we start at the very beginning, which is creation. But when we get into the meat of the liturgy of the Mass, we go through the Last Supper.
Amen.
He took bread, he broke it, he blessed it. He took wine, he blessed it, right? And we do all these things. It's a retelling of the death of Christ. It's a reminder. It is recalling, asking his presence to reside here.
Amen.
This one hit me out of left field. Verse 50. When he led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them.
Amen.
He lifted up his hands and he blessed them.
Hallelujah.
The great high priest gave a great high priestly blessing.
Yes,
as you go forth from this place, always remember the gospel. What a powerful picture. As you go forth, be witnesses in my name. Preaching repentance and the remission of sins to all the nations. The very last acclamation that the deacon declares. There are various ones. Let us go forth into the world rejoicing.
Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia. Our great high priest finished his work on this earth by blessing, raising his hands in a priestly blessing.
Amen.
Not over just those who were there, but over all the earth, over all the nations, to all who will receive him. The disciples went back to Jerusalem. We know the story well. We're going to hear it on Pentecost Sunday, I'm sure. Our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters, take the time from tomorrow to Saturday before Pentecost and pray the novena of the Holy Spirit. And I went online and started looking at some of these prayers. They are powerful. They are powerful prayers setting apart a time of day every day from tomorrow until the Saturday before Pentecost, praying for the Holy Spirit to be released on this earth. What would happen if just those of us here did that? What would happen in our service on Pentecost Sunday if we committed that and we prayed every day that God would release His Holy Spirit in a mighty way for the repentance and remission of sins for all mankind? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.